Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday, May 26th edition of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee. We're in the public hearing and possible work session for Senate Bill 5518, which is the agency budget for the Division of State Lands. And also yesterday we had a presentation involving the Natural Heritage Advisory Council, and there were some questions and information that were to be brought back to the committee. So we'll begin this morning with Mr. Cleary and Mr. Rocker. Do you have anything this morning for the good of the order?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to point out to the committee, I handed out several items today. There's a letter from the Farm Bureau Keep Test in support of Package 105 of the in the state land budget. There's a brief description of the state land policy option packages, basically a two-page summary of all the packages that may help with the deliberation later today. There's a the program budget for the Natural Heritage Program that was requested yesterday with additional details on the use of the dollars in those packages, and a letter from Idaho Power discussing the Natural Heritage Program and support for that. In addition to that, I handed out the LFO recommendation on the Division of State Lands budget, and when we get into work session, I would
thank you, Mr. Rocco. Mr. Curry, do you have anything to say this morning, or launch into the rest of the overview?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Paul Cleary, Director of the Division of State Lands. I'll just maybe draw your attention to that, what we try to do at budget in brief, that two-page description of our policy option packages, and primarily point out, of course, that we are a other funded agency. We're funded from our revenue streams and our investment stream. The only general fund funding that we've got in the division is about $38,000 that is passed through as part of our contract with the Heritage Council. And we've got federal funding that flows in both at the division level from EPA for some of our wetland projects, local wetland inventories and so forth, as well as federal funding that comes into South SLU. South SLU is managed kind of as a partnership between the state and the federal government. That's where we like to keep our funding on kind of a split basis with them. And so in this this summary, we've identified a little description of what the package is, as well as the federal, state, and lottery measure funding for each one of those packages. That's the last bit of information. And with that, I'm open for questions, and hopefully this will help a little bit better than my rambling yesterday.
Questions from the committee, or Mr. Mitchell?
Question, Mr. Chair. Package 105.
Yes, sir.
It looks like the name has changed, and I looked at the description on the fiscal office, I guess, and I'm wondering if the task hasn't changed a little bit, too. Could you explain that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messley, probably we mischaracterized it initially. We know that a lot of our wetland restoration work is going to occur within the Willamette Valley, but we also know that we've got needs in other parts of the state, in the coastal areas, and in the central part of the state. I think the main thing that we wanted to make sure people were aware of was it is a desire of ours to start moving into a non-regulatory program, particularly in the agricultural arena, because as I discussed yesterday, when I'm working in that arena, and I pull out the toolbox, I don't want to just be able to pull out a set of rules and a permit application. I want to be able to pull out some other tools, and this would be a tool that we can pull out.
Sure, Paul.
Follow up.
And I support that. I think that's a really positive way to move. And maybe you want to deal with this later, but when I look at the fiscal report talking about Package 105, they don't match. I'm not sure they're talking about the same thing.
So, Mr. Chair, Rector Messley, I think that's an issue that we should talk about later when we get into this.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Rector Messley, certainly that would be an area where if the committee wanted to see us move forward with this but wanted to give us some specific instruction on how to use that position, a budget note along those lines, we'd be happy to work with you on that.
Any further questions? Paul? Mr. Barry? Andrew?
Sure. The only question I have, Paul, is in looking at the, and this may be more appropriate for the work session, but the LFO recommendation represents a reduction of a little over $700,000 from the governor's recommended level. I'd like to ask two questions. One is, what funds are represented in that cut, and what programs are recommended in that cut?
Instead of going ahead to the, actually we're just going to go right into this in a minute here. Why don't we, if there's no other questions for Mr. Perry, let's go ahead and bring the folks up to answer the questions that they brought in a natural heritage program. And I think Rosanne King had some questions about how the budget fit together. And I see the document here this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you're ready?
For the record, my name is Jimmy Kagan. I'm the program director of the Heritage Program. And as I always mentioned to the committee, we provided you a one-page summary followed by exactly what's in your notebook from the Heritage Advisory Council's program unit. The summary is just an outline of our budget, the Heritage Program's budget for the next biennium, with a list of our staff, what portions of the staff would come from lottery funds and what portions come from general funds. The first three positions, the two things to note on here is the first three, it says Natural Heritage Program Budget 2000, right, it's the first page right there.
Thank you.
And the staff is on there.
Yeah, the Heritage staff positions start on the top.
Okay, they're not numbered.
They're not numbered.
Okay.
So that's a list of the Heritage staff positions, and the order of that list just follows the people included in those packages below. Seemed like that was the simplest way to record it. The first three positions on that list are positions that currently are not at the Heritage Program. Those are positions that we'll only be able to hire with funding from lottery. We've been looking for a long time to get fisheries information coordination and we've not been able to get funding from the feds, or they didn't choose to do that. We need additional support both to deal with wildlife information and additional GIS support for one biome only to take a whole bunch of information, digitize it, and make it available. So those three positions, the first part, package 114 A, B, and C, will basically won't happen with the lottery fund. The next 1, 2, 3, 4 positions are positions already at the Heritage Program right now. All of those staff members are working pretty much exclusively on federal grants or existing state grants. So if the Measure 66 lottery funding is available, then most of those staff members' time will become available to assist OWEB and watershed councils in the Oregon Plan implementation. Without it, those people are going to have to continue to work on federal contracts. And then, so that basically outlines the different packages, who's going to work on what package and how much it is. At the very bottom, if you look at the income, it talks of it shows the total biennial budget for the Heritage Program and then the sources of income, which includes income based on us receiving all 466 of those lottery funds that were included in the governor's proposed budget. And so it shows 39% of the program would be from state sources, 49% from federal, and 12% from private sources.
Question there, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of those four positions that are presently being funded from federal agencies, mm-hmm. two questions. Number one, are those federal funds drying up, or are you going to use those federal funds for other projects or other expenditures? And number two, justify for me the director coming totally out of lottery funds.
Okay. We still have the ability to get federal funds. It's going to be more difficult because we haven't tried to get them for some positions. It's hard for some of the wetlands work, which we anticipated moving forward on working with the salmon plan and the ecology work. You have to go out and get some of these federal grants well in advance, and when we were kind of probably unwisely assuming that we might get a lot of this lottery funds to work on this, we sort of didn't pursue those federal grants. But they're not really drawing up. We have the ability to get them, but unfortunately they direct us to federal projects. They keep us working on federal lands. They keep us working with federal information, and unfortunately we've not been able to work with watershed councils, work with state agencies nearly as much. In terms of the program director moving completely to state lottery funds, the view was that we wanted this program to become integrated into the OWEB information system, and the amount of information coordination that the Oregon Plan is going to require is really pretty astounding. Trying to keep track of data that's out there from, we have a wonderful network of federal partners, and so they do provide us a lot of information. And I've been able to find out what's in a lot of different places, although I haven't been able to actually get that information. I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what's at Watershed Council, what's being developed in different cities and seasons. And we were assuming that there would need to be one FTE coordinating all the activities of gathering information for OWEB.
So let me elaborate. I think that if you assess the
amount of federal resources and state resources to that.
Mr. Chair, Wes Holcliffe, the Director of the Nature Conservancy, Mr. Smith, if you look at the detail of information, the federal agencies are gathering biological information from both U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Forest Service, BLM, Bureau of Reclamation, Natural Resource Conservation Service. There is no obligation on those, of those agencies to centralize that information, let alone disseminate that information out to state agencies. At the same time, you have watershed councils, upwards of 90 of them now, with no obligation to centralize and or develop that information, coordinate that information in a unified format. We are losing opportunities to gain a centralized database and to merge that together. And if we had one person focusing on that effort, I think there's going to be significant gain to the program. We're just losing good information that's being replicated, and that's, I think, the biggest crime is the replication of information that is taking place, and that will continue. But as we look at the implementation of Measure 66, be it at the operating level or the acquisition level of capital investment, you really need to have good information to make those decisions and have that information centralized and accessible to the legislature and accessible to every state agency.
Mr. Chair, your follow-up. I'm not questioning the need for that type of coordination. My only question was why the state market should become
Representative Messerly, it's Jimmy Cagan. This program is managed by the Nature Conservancy, but the Nature Conservancy has always managed it as a state agency. As we manage it under agreement with the Division of State Lands, and since I've been here, I think that Mr. Clare has always felt that he could ask me to do whatever he wanted me to do, and we've been relatively responsive. The program was created by the legislature, and it is, to some extent, the work that's required is state work. We've been doing it for a long time without really any state support, but the magnitude of work that's now required for the Oregon Plan, I think, needs some investment. I don't know. One other point I would like to make about this budget is that one significant benefit that the Nature Conservancy provides to the Heritage Program is the use of a large cadre of volunteers. We have 20,000 records in one of our databases. We have lots of digitized files, and we make use of over 200 volunteers in our office. We always have volunteers, and they do a lot of the data entry, and it just makes a lot of stuff possible that wouldn't be possible otherwise.
Mr. Chair, just one more quick clarification for me. This is the director of only the Natural Heritage Program. This is not the director of Nature Conservancy.
Absolutely not the director of Nature Conservancy.
Other questions? Thank you. I am sure the members feel that this information is exactly what they had asked for.
Thank you.
And if there's no further, we'll go back to the agency overview. And Mr. Ocker, at the time we went through the policy option packages and the budget summary and overview for our purposes. And if there's any other questions for Mr. Clary, now would be a good time. Okay. Otherwise, we'll hear from Linda Gilbert, who's here this morning from DAS. Mr. Rocker, do you want to walk us through this process?
Yes,
that's true. I think that would be appropriate.
Mr. Chair, I've provided the committee with two items for a work session today. One is a memo that basically outlines the LFO recommendations, but program by program. The other is a series of spreadsheets that go through, again, each of the programs of the department. the first page of the spreadsheet is just the summary of the entire agency budget, including on the first page includes all of the agency's policy packages, as well as an expenditure history of the department. And then following on the back side of the first page is a summary of the LFO recommended changes to the budget. Each of these are identified on the subsequent pages that go through each program of the division. So the next page of the spreadsheet is the Common School Fund program, which has the same pattern of detail and just shows you what the LFO is recommending. And again, those changes are all summarized on that first sheet. I guess it's important to point out, as Mr. Clary did, that the agency has relatively little general funds. Most of their programs are supported by other funds, and the bulk of that is common school fund revenue. So even though it's not a direct general fund resource, common school fund resources are not spent, then they can be deposited into the common school fund. The non-limited category on the front page of the summary represents primarily the distribution to schools that the division makes. And that's why the size of that is so large. About in the governor's recommended budget, it's $24.3 million. It's non-limited because it's outside the legislative control, basically. This is something that the division has authority over, or the land board actually has the authority over distributions. And we do not provide a limitation on those distribution of resources. It's the land board which is the one who distributes those funds. And if you look at the actual Senate Bill 5518, there's a section in there that describes what in the agency's budget is non-limited. So, Mr. Chair, if you'd like, we can start going through each one of these programs, and I can review with the committee the LFO recommendations.
I'd like to do that, Mr. Rockland. It's my intention to have the committee go through all of the program option packages and the elements of the budget, and then go right to the work session after that. I think it's a committee's question answered.
Mr. Chair, if you turn to the second page of the spreadsheet, which has the Common School Fund program identified, what I've done in the memo is provide you with a description of all the changes that the LFO has recommended and basic system outline of decisions on each one of the policy packages. The first change recommended is a reduction in attorney general costs of $14,085. And this is a reflection of the general government subcommittee's decision to reduce the hourly rate that the Attorney General charges for services to agencies from the budgeted $92 an hour to $90 an hour. And that's based on the amount of expenditure that the agency had anticipated needing from the AG. This would reduce those costs by that amount, by $14,085. And that's an other fund reduction. Second, we're recommending, as Mr. Clary talked yesterday, of increasing the non-limited other funds distribution from the Common School Fund for schools of $40 million. And again, this is just a change to the non-limited category, so it's sort of a direction to the land board that the legislature would like this to occur, but again, the decision is the land board's decision, and as Mr. Clary stated, that would likely be made on June 8th, I believe. So we're just trying to reflect that direction in this category of the budget.
Okay.
Just for clarification, my understanding is that in the non-limited
up above under the 99-2001, which came $24,331,310. And that then the $40 million is in addition to that $24 million, so it brings us to common school contribution of $64 million plus down.
Mr. Chair, Rector and King, that's correct. Actually, I think it would be closer to $63 million because there's some other expenses in that non-limited. But if you look on that chart where you were looking, if you go over to the far right where there's 9901 LAB box, and you'll see in that non-limited line that it goes to $64,331.03. And that would be the LFO recommended amount. Regarding package 101, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation is to approve the package, and that includes turning two existing limited duration positions, a natural resource specialist 4 and an office specialist 1, into permanent positions. These positions have been limited duration for at least two biennium now, and the feeling is that the streamlining program is effective and needs to continue, and that those positions should be permanent. Package 103 is an upgrade of positions. There are three positions in this package that have gone through review and have been identified as having responsibilities that have changed since they were originally developed, and this package is recommended without funding for the 9901 biennium, which means the division needs to absorb the cost, the additional cost of those upgrades within its existing budget, and then for the next biennium, the 0103 biennium, those additional costs would be rolled up into the base budget. Package 104 is recommended for approval. This continues two existing limited duration NRS1 positions as permanent and converts an existing half-time data entry position to full-time. That's why you see an increase of only two positions for 2.5 FTE. These positions are engaged in removal fill activities, and effectiveness monitoring for the Oregon plan, and we feel these need to be continued as permanent, along with most of the other positions in the Oregon plan that have been approved as permanent positions. Package 105, we're recommending eliminating this package, along with the one position and $109,223 of other funds. This position was, in the original budget document, it was described as being a wetlands position to assist in the Willamette Basin and to help in implementing the governor's Willamette Basin task force recommendations and developing Willamette Basin wetland restoration plans. Subsequent to that, as Mr. Clary has indicated, there's been a refocus of that position, and I would imagine the committee could make some directions on that position if the committee decides to fund that position to expand the scope of it beyond just for the Willamette River Basin.
And however, the energy under other funds as well, or is that a general fund item?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. That's another funded position using common school money. And if the committee would like to look at the original description that's on page 5-28 in your budget list, it describes the original description of how the position would be used in the agency. Package 106 is recommended for approval. This includes a unclaimed property auditor and an existing clerical. Currently, the clerical position is limited duration, and the package recommends continuing that position as limited duration and adding a new unclaimed property auditor as a permanent staff. We're recommending that the package be approved, but with both positions being limited duration, which would allow the division to report back to the next legislative assembly on the success of this new unclaimed property auditor and how that position was able to generate additional unclaimed property receipts to the state. Package 110 is recommended for approval, which would increase the base budget authority for computer maintenance needs. And this is primarily an outcome of the division's migration into a new computer system that's been going on for the last several years. And it's primarily just an increase in the limitation that they need in order to provide continued maintenance for the new computer system. The next page of the spreadsheet shows the South Blue National Veteran Research Reserve. There are a total of 5 packages in this program area. The first change is that LFO recommends is a technical adjustment. If you happen to notice in the budget document, there is an ending balance of $250,001 in the South Blue program. And this was an oversight that was that occurred during budget development. And we're recommending resolving that oversight with a reduction in the transfer in of revenue. There's no fiscal impact of this. It's just a technical change in the budget. Where is that?
Oh, I thought it meant.
The first of the program packages, option packages, is package 102, which would add 2 positions, or basically take 2 limited duration positions and turn them into permanent positions, and move funding for those positions from 100% federal funds to 50% common school funds and 50% federal funds. There's one of the positions is a land steward position, and the other is an educational assistant. Also included in the package are 2 reclassifications, a manager and maintenance foreman positions. And again, as in the earlier reclass package, these are suggested for approval without funding for this biennium, which means that next biennium, that in the 103 biennium, the cost would be rolled forward into the base budget. Legislative Fiscal is recommending, instead of funding package 108, which is a package using all federal funds for a half-time position, to use those federal dollars to offset some of the common school fund costs for the 2 positions being recommended in package 102. We would agree that those positions need to be permanent. One of them has been around for a number of years in various iterations, and we feel that both of those positions should be permanent. However, we would rather see less of another fund's commitment to these positions than proposed by the division. Package 107 finances of the purchase of a new van using 50% common school funds and 50% federal funds, and we're recommending approval of that. And given the location of the South Slough and the need for transportation in that area, we're recommending approval of that package. Package 108, we're recommending for elimination and using those federal dollars to offset the other funds costs of package 102. This package would add a half-time clerical position to assist with the grant program in the South Group.
Mr. Senator? What can that mean? You take the $36,000
And did that get in the 93 in the 102 package?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Package 111 is a, basically this is in the, in the South School Small Grant Program, is it's increasing the limitation that is allowed within this program to seek out and use small grants from various sources, including the federal government. Currently, those limitations are at $100,000 each, and this proposal would increase them to $150,000 in each for other funds and $150,000 federal funds. What increasing this will do would eliminate some trips to the emergency board in the interim to obtain additional limitations, which the agency tends to do because they creep up to that $100,000 limit. I think the only legislative fiscal is recommending approval of this. However, we are a little concerned about the ability of the agency to accept rather large grants under the small grant program under this $150,000 cap if this package is approved, and would recommend that direction be given that grants in excess of some amount, and we're looking at roughly $30,000, would still require a trip to the emergency board. And the reason for this is that occasionally grants are obtained from the federal government that may ultimately lead into some kind of a cost-sharing situation, and we think the emergency board should have the ability to review those kinds of grants when they're of a magnitude greater than what you would normally consider to be a small grant.
Question?
Package 112 is a package that would raise limitations for capital construction activities in the South Florida Interpretive Center. We're recommending approval of this, and it's funded with a combination of federal funds and common school funds.
Any questions?
As you turn to the next page of the spreadsheet, this is an item number 3 under the memo. This is the Natural Heritage Program. Legislative Fiscal is recommending a $1,532 reduction in general fund, and this is part of the co-chair's effort to find efficiency savings and agencies of approximately 4%. This would be taken from professional services, and again, since there is no other fund, general fund in the agency's budget, this is where the $1,500 would need to come from. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending elimination of the three packages using Measure 66 lottery funds, package 114, 115, and 116. These are the packages that were just discussed with the committee by the National Heritage Advisory Council. There are several options here. If it's possible that these packages could be added back when the Measure 66 discussion is had in front of this committee later in the session. Or they could also be part of an interim study of some form for recommendation to OWEB for the next, for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which is going to be the body to implement Measure 66 for the next planning. And finally, Package 117, which is an increase in federal fund limitation. Legislative Fiscal is recommending approval of that. This is similar to the limitation increase in the previous package in South SLU, where the Natural Heritage Program has sort of bumped up against the cap of federal funds limitation and are anticipating additional federal funds beyond what's in the base budget. The next page of the spreadsheet shows the wetlands, already wetlands revolving fund.
Question. Can we back up on the National Heritage? Paul, in the presentation on the National Heritage, put down on page 8.3,
it makes a statement that talks about that they're responsible for securing lists of special species of plants and animals, and then it talks about the universal acceptance of the management tools by federal agencies. And my question is this. In my committee, we had an individual who had driven 52,000 miles, I believe it was, paid for by ODOT to look at plants. And I'm just wondering, is anybody compiling all this data that's being generated? It just seems like it's everywhere doing this. And the thing that worries me is it looks to me like with what we're doing with this process right here, if we're generating the data base that's going to be used by federal agencies to harm Oregon industry. And I'm just a little bit concerned about that because I keep seeing little pieces here and there. It was a substantial amount of money to pay somebody to drive 52,000 miles out of ODOT's budget looking at little plants along the road. And do these all end up in this area? Is that what happens?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, that's the hope of what happens, so we don't spend another $52,000 10 years from now for somebody to retrace those steps. We get that information into one single database, and it's accessible and available for ODOT, land developers, and other folks. Pay for the data collection once, make sure then that it doesn't sit on a shelf somewhere, get it into a geographic information system display type output and use it as a tool there.
I think the other issue is that the data collection in coordination is an issue. We've got several GIS systems that are not currently indexed or interrelated. And I think in this legislative session, we've seen people start to talk about a central repository for GIS information and different overlays. Sensitive species or plant species are critically important because virtually every decision that involves federal funding, and many now that we're doing it at the state level, require us to do plant surveys for threatened or endangered plant species. So the permit very often turns on whether or not the plant species information is available or has to be surveyed for. So I think Mr. Igo was the one that went forth with the ODOT blessing for a survey of the native plant species in mediums and on the sides of growers. And I think that is related to highway widening projects that wouldn't be able to go forward without having the surveys done. But the two things that do concern me are we're creating these databases but not necessarily integrating these databases with each other. We've had other agencies compiling these things up. When you do get them in one place, you find out that the scale often doesn't match, the data doesn't translate to anything. Very often at the federal level, so what happens is the BLM has one set of parameters for data collection, Forest Service another. The folks that do water regulations are a different one. We don't have a mechanism for bringing all this stuff together, and we probably ought to do that somewhere. I think DAS is the agency that's decided to become the repository for the GIS information. But the overlays are scattered throughout state agencies. Senator Corcoran.
Mr. Chair, the LFO proposal to eliminate the three packages, 1, 14, 15, and 16, I didn't quite understand what you said, Mr. Rocco, about you basically moved them out of the Measure 66 lottery funds. That much is apparent, but is a recommendation that they not be funded?
Mr. Chair, the LFO recommendation is that they not be funded.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I have a question then. Big discussion is building right now about Measure 66 and whether the Measure 66 money enhances or backfills. How would you characterize these three programs as enhancement or backfill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cochran, it would be kind of a combination. It would be enhancement, but it would be doing work that we've been trying to do for a number of years and been inadequately funded.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, another question. Just to put it on the record, how do you feel these programs
dovetail with the intent of Measure 66 with regard to salmon or parks?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carpen, we think they dovetail real well. They address the issue that the chairman had raised, and that is we need to have a good science driving these decisions, but in order to have good science, you've got to have a coordinated, consistent data collection and have it accessible to the decision makers, and that's what this is aimed at.
Thank you.
Senator Carpen brings up a good point, and that needs to be put into perspective. This is a committee that's going to be getting the House Bill 3225, and if we remember, or we can share with other colleagues that are not on the standing committee for the very first time, those blanks are in the bill to allocate dollars for Measure 66 expenditures. And virtually every one of the agencies that we hear the budget for have allocated Measure 66 dollars. Some of those things are in the governor's recommended budget. Some of those things have been put into a different focus since we've got a new interpretation from the Attorney General on what's administration and what's capital outlay. So all of those things are going to be put through this committee, and they're all going to be looked at in terms of the recommendations that we're getting from the various agencies and the governor's recommendations. And those things will have to be prioritized. The Natural Heritage Program never did get adequate funding. We've sort of been benefiting from the Nature Conservancy's desire to get this information in the public record. So this would represent new spending. It also, at least these packages, and taken individually, they're certainly fit the definition. They need to be put into perspective of all the recommended spending that we've seen for Measure 66. We've been watching the box scores on Measure 66. We've spent the money, three, maybe five times. So there is a big shopping list that we need to pare down to the definition of administration, and that's kind of where we are with these packages. As Mr. Rocco indicated, the Natural Heritage Program looks at those resources for allocation. The resources that we're looking at for Measure 66 are scarce resources, and the evidence is that we've spent them a couple of times, at least on paper. These funds are allocated for inclusion in the governor's budget, but there are some duplications of things that other agencies have also proposed to do. All these projects are worthy projects, but we have to put them in priority. And these particular packages have already been identified as potential add-backs or for interim consideration by the new OLEB board. So it's not something that we're just knocking off the table, never to be reconsidered in this committee. We will be revisiting this issue. A question.
Mr. Chair, are we planning on voting these today or tomorrow or this day?
We're scheduled to move these today.
I'm going to fight even for some of one of these packages is the virtually cut off, and I'd like to have some input in terms of I don't know which one that they have the highest priority on, and that would help me do that.
Okay. And I think that many of the members will have difficulty doing that until we get all of the Measure 66 spending items on the table, and that's why at this time we're recommending against inclusion of these packages. And as we go through, we could be requesting the committee to look at an add-back on any of these packages. But to try and pick one or two or three out of the budget and say, this one's a good one, let's go with this, without looking at all of them, would be a little hard to do.
I appreciate that. I think it would help me if I at least got a chance to hear from them in terms of their response to that.
Sure. I think that's what we're here to do. Representative Jensen.
Just to make sure I'm understanding, as far as the Measure 66 funds, we're intending to look through the entirety of our budget.
Yes.
Excluding the specific money from all of those budgets until we get a chance to put them together.
What has happened is that every one of our agencies has brought forth recommendations for Measure 66 funding by the definitions that they had when they put their budgets together. That definition is sharpened in focus over the last 3 months, and
Mr. Chair, based on you need to probably go into an active advertising campaign for the lottery to get more people to participate.
Well, I'm sure if I'm just that any contribution you care to make will be greatly appreciated by the management. But actually, there is that as the competition from other gaming venues increases. Lottery dollars may flatten out somewhat. Can we move on? We need to get through this package and then, reference some of your questions, puts it into perspective, including Senator Corcoran. But I think we have a plan to go ahead with a broader overview of all the, when 3225 does come to the committee. So you may see other packages that have these Measure 66 recommendations that we also do not fund.
Mr. Chair, then the Oregon Wetlands Revolving Fund is on the next page of the spreadsheet and item 4 on the memo. We're recommending a state budget limitation adjustment of $100,000 in this program. Basically, this is a mitigation bank for wetlands that's been established by the division, and they came to the emergency board and got a $300,000 limitation for the 9901 biennium. Based on the level of activity in the program, we're suggesting that the program could have a $100,000 limitation adjustment made, and again offer them the opportunity to come to the emergency board as activity in the mitigation bank progresses. We feel this is a valuable program and are just trying to adjust the limitation to the amount of anticipated expenses that we can see at this time. And again, the agency, as they did last interim, could come to the emergency board when they had other projects that were going to be using resources from the revolving fund, and the emergency board could adjust the limitation to allow those to continue.
Representative Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is an outstanding program, but I think it's being underutilized. And I guess maybe if we could develop some kind of a budget note to make this more user-friendly. I know I had a bill last session that passed that would allow some of the watershed programs to be used as a department would be more of a brokerage. They would line up highway departments and counties and things to utilize some of these projects and provide some incentive for the landowners. I don't know that that has ever worked. And I think part of the reason is because it was just too cumbersome. And they tried to fold it into this mitigation program as opposed to being a brokerage. And I'm wondering if we couldn't maybe look towards doing the same thing with the full mitigation program. I've heard comments from people that say it's very difficult to work and comply with the program because of the liabilities that they're involved in. But I think it's a great program that needs to move forward, needs to be enhanced. But I just wonder if we don't need to take a long look at implementing it.
Representative Mishley, have you any other feedback from the constituents that indicated what needs to be improved in terms of the user-friendliness of the program? Is that application process or
that's part of it, I believe, and part of it is the liability and the assurances that are required to maintain that program, whether it's a natural event or a storm event or whatever. And I'm not that, I haven't dealt with it for some time, so I need to go back and check my notes, but I know it was an issue.
Mr.
Chair, we certainly would be happy to work with you on a budget note along those lines. We've had these meetings with what we call our wetland consultant group, and they've identified some things that they think would help us make that mitigation banking process more user-friendly. When you set up a formal bank, it's much like establishing a financial institution, and there do have to be some safeguards, but we need to have some things short of a bank, this dating service, if you will, where we marry up people who need off-site mitigation needs with somebody who wants it done on their land. The the payment to provide, which is what is the source of funding for this mitigation revolving fund. The money that comes in here comes from people who can't mitigate on site, make a payment, and then we take that money and spend it on restoration elsewhere. And I think Mr. Rocco has identified that based on our experience, we probably aren't going to be able to spend the full $300,000 in the biennium, probably more tracking along the $200,000. And if we do have a run into a situation where we get a lot of money in and we want to kick it back out, we can come in front of the emergency board. But we are trying to do that work on the mitigation bank as well.
And I think as we get further into the Measure 66 granting directly to watershed councils and so our conservation districts, that the trend will be to more mitigation banking and more utilization, just as we've seen an increase in the pollution credit, tax credits and the pollution trading, abatement trading. So I wouldn't doubt that this could be a very valuable and more frequently used component.
Mr. Chair, I don't mean to take up a lot of time on this, but there's a tremendous need for state highway, county highway, cities to find mitigation projects.
Yeah.
And I think we could save some money and save a lot of time on our projects and just make it a win-win all the way around.
I don't think it speaks directly to Senator George's concern that we have this data. It can be used to move a project forward or stop it dead. So if we have some alternatives, maybe do ourselves a good service by creating some mitigation opportunities to just plug into these projects. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mr. Rocco.
Mr. Chair, finally, the last page of the handout is the Capital Improvements Program, and Legislative Fiscal is recommending approval of the governor's recommended level. These are primarily expenditures to maintain properties and assets owned by the division, including Tongue Point and their office building here in Thames. We recommend approval of the governor's level on that. To summarize the recommendations by LFO, would result in a total limited budget, that this is excluding the non-limited, of roughly $13.5 million. This is a reduction of about $728,000 from the governor's recommended level. Most of that is in the lottery funds, $466,000 of lottery funds, and that's about a 5% reduction from the governor's recommended level. And I think in addition to that, there's the $40 million recommended increase in the non-limited to reflect the anticipated higher contribution to the school from the current school fund.
Yeah, I think to speak to the issue that Representative King brought forth in the questions about the increase of $40 million in the county school fund distribution, that's an expectation that we can create with this budget, but it's not necessarily a reality that we can deliver. It simply is not within the authority of the committee or the legislature to make the allocation. That comes from the board only. But I think by creating this budget, we're creating the expectation that the distribution will be there. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with that. And actually, I will be recommending that we put forward that recommendation, actually $47 million versus $40 million. I have been advocating that this is an appropriate time to have a 5% distribution. And that comes out to, if we use 700 as the end of last year as a number, when it comes a little bit higher, then 5% would be $35 million per year. That'd be $70 million in a biennium. So $63 million is a little bit below that. And we did pass a House Joint Memorial House side of a recommendation of 5%. And so I think it is reasonable to put forward them with a number from the source of $47
million. Any further discussion on that concept? Okay. any questions for Mr. Clary or Mr. Rocco about the full budget presentation? Committee, are we ready to go into work session on this budget? We're scheduled to meet it today. We want to stay on our track. Seeing no objections, then we're going to go into work session. We're in work session on Senate Bill 5518, and this is a preliminary remark on the recommendations from LSO. I think the committee can see the level of detail and the specificity with which Mr. Rocco has looked at this budget. I know the members snickered a little about the $1,532 reduction in the general funds, which is the 4% recommended by our co-chairs, but we're making those applications of our instructions equitably and fairly across all the budgets that we see. So that's the way the numbers shake out, and that's why that's in there. Senator Corcoran.
I just have one question, Mr. Rocco. Is the packages 114 through 116, are they the only proposed measure of 66 million budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, that's correct. There's a total of $466,000 of lottery funds in the governor's estimate and budget, all encompassed by those three packages.
Thank you.
Senator George.
Here's a little general question for Paul. Paul, I've had several calls back in on the, I believe it's 207 acres of Wilsonville just west of the Dammy site, as far as actually, you know, selling that property and getting that into their common school fund. What is going to be the direction on that? How long do we intend to hold it before it comes into that?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, we approved the sale of 20 acres of that to the West Wind Wilsonville School District, and I believe we're almost in the process of closing on that. We're just waiting on a final survey.
Okay.
And, well, it's outside the urban growth boundary.
Right.
And so we had an appraisal done, and we reviewed it, and that came in at $10,000 an acre. That's what happens when you're on that side of the line as opposed to on the other side of the line. We've had discussions with Metro. They and the city of Wilsonville have encouraged us to negotiate for the sale of the remainder of that tract to Metro under their Green Spaces program to use as open spaces, and I think that's kind of viewed as certainly an enhancement to the adjoining damaged property. And we would require that be appraised and sold at full fair market value as well. These are trust lands, so we've got no choice but to sell them at full fair market value. And we're interested in selling it because, our returns on our funds have been in the 20% range or so, and certainly given the constraints on that land, we can do better with the money in the fund than we can in the land.
There's no chance that it's going to get moved into the urban growth boundary?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, it's not targeted for moving into the urban growth boundary. They were allowed to locate a school on it because that is one of the exceptions, and I think they are going to expand the boundary for the school purposes, but the remainder of it would be
one follow-up. We had the two hearings on the youth corrector incident, and one of the things that came out of that was probably this whole thing could have been avoided, and so we hope that there's going to be a direction, and you and I talked a little bit about that. Do we have it shouldn't be a major expense for us to coordinate with all the parks and of course you folks and who else, whoever else, to make sure that there's a plan in case something like the new corrective grounding. We're okay with being able to move forward and have a coordinated plan relatively soon.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, that's something that the review committee is going through right now. As a matter of fact, we've got a pollution response plan. We need to update that and strengthen it, and part of it's got to be avoiding the problem or addressing it in a real timely manner. And like you say, we found out that perhaps if we had a salvage vessel on a hot iron status ready to roll, and if we'd have been more aggressive initially, we might not have been in a pollution cleanup problem. We might have just been in a filter problem.
A real quick filter.
That's right.
For everyone that wasn't present on that, one of the things that came out was the fact that we didn't have control over that. If a truck ran off of Highway 101 and out onto the beach and into the surf, you would have a tow truck on it just like this. That didn't happen because it was a ship stuck on the same beach. And so I think there needs to be a real affirmative movement to say, we take jurisdiction over this and we're going to act as quickly as possible to handle the situation the best way. Okay.
Thank you, Senator. Any further questions? Okay, the chair would reopen the motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the FDA fiscal office record on the budget just to go with 5518.
Colleagues, we have a motion on the floor to accept the legislative fiscal recommendation to Senate Bill 558. Is there any discussion?
Sure, I would be interested in an amendment to include a budget note that the division would report to the emergency board or something along those lines on a more user-friendly mitigation banking program. I'm not prepared with language today, and I would hope that they could work something out. But, I don't know the process, but if they could come back to us. Maybe Mr. Rocco can help me.
Mr. Chair, I could suggest that if the committee was willing to accept the conceptual budget note on the lines that you were discussing earlier and have that reviewed by any member of the committee that would like before this goes to the full Ways and Means Committee and have it included in the budget report.
And, President Mitchell, approving that in concept, that budget note could indicate more user-friendliness and more opportunities for expansion and utilization of mitigation banking, and I report back to the Legislative Emergency Board if there's any additional need, because we have already included instructions that allows the agency to go to the E-Board for additional funding authorities they need to do that. Additional limitations, what they're actually giving. Senator Mitchell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm concerned about the elimination of 114, 115, 116. I think a pretty good case was made for how valuable that data is. I understand, and for those of you that involve other committees, the concern about duplicity with some information elsewhere. However, I think it is critical that we work on public-private partnerships and the fact that we're able to work with a private organization that provides a lot of volunteer manpower. I would think that there's going to be a centralized data collection. I would rather have it under this model with the DSL and the plan with Nature Conservancy as opposed to somewhere else, which may all be dollars out of state coffers. And I'd rather have it coordinated this way as opposed to looking elsewhere, and I think the case has been made for that, and I think this is a valuable addition in terms of making decisions in the future.
Can we consider, if we're going to consider that as a motion, can we handle that one last?
I wasn't going to make a motion, I guess.
We're thinking.
I'd like to follow up on that. I did have some conversation with Amadeo on that, and I had the same concerns, and they are high priority item, and she can speak to that if you wish to call it, but my understanding is that, and I too do want to fight for those, but it's also true that we're going to be dealing with a number of these items as a part of House Bill 3225 that was the enabling legislation regarding Ballot Measure 66, and so we would be able to consider these packages as a part of that process as well, and you're able to confirm that if you wish. So.
And
I don't think that they're necessarily gone if we don't have them in here.
The intent is, in fact, to look at all the Measure 66 proposed spending at one time and put them in an order, confer with the agencies and the governor's office, and make sure that the essential elements of the Oregon Plan are fully funded. And then if there's other opportunities, then those would be considered for add-backs. So, yeah, I'm really concerned that we get off the priorities of the core elements of the Oregon Plan, and then we'll end up having created more of a disconnect and a movement forward on the Oregon Plan. So, but before I get off track here, Finn, did you want to make
a motion on the limitation in package item B under the Common School Fund, page 1, which is $40 million additional amount.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do recommend.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Point of order, Mr.
The motion on the floor. Do we have to reissue that to bring back that motion in order to allow
the motion? Well, Senator Turner, thank you. I have carefully noted everybody's conceptual amendments and amendments to your motion, and if we get through this.
I would be amending your motion. But your motion stands, and I would be
amending.
Asking to amend your motion if that's appropriate.
It is.
By order. Okay.
Senator, it's always in order.
Okay. But I would like to. I move that we change the Common School Fund contribution number to $47 million, and that be a part of Senator Tarnow's motion, to adopt
telephone recommendation.
Recommendation of Senate Bill 5518.
Okay. Are there any further
questions? Mr. Chair, I'll be a no on this budget, primarily because I don't have much faith in restoring these packages in the general Measure 66 discussion. I speak as much against the governor's proposals with some of the Measure 66 money as I do with leadership proposals. I think we're really violating the principle, Representative Mannix aside, I think we're violating the principle that the voters set out in Measure 66. And I think that the packages 114 through 116 really do represent an enhancement, which is what I think the voters wanted. I think if we could we could restore some respect for the political system if we could show the voters that we didn't use Measure 66 to backfill. And in fact, I think voters would look at it in a enhanced database and watershed concerns as what they were voting for when they voted for 66.
Objection so noted, Senator Perkin, and I think that's exactly the quality of debate that we need to bring to the 3225. Colleagues, then we have a motion for a recommendation to accept LFO's recommendations, including a budget note to increase the user-friendliness in the mitigation banking system with a report to the e-board, legislative e-board. We have also an amendment to add $7 million to the recommendation for the increase of the distributions to the Common School Fund.
I think we have a motion. I don't think we've amended it.
Actually, the motion was by Senator Tarnow, and all the other considerations are amendments to this motion. So we're going to have go ahead and call the roll on Senator Tarnow's amended motion. Senator Jersey,
what was the total agreed then under non-limited?
Under non-limited, it would be $7 million more than what we have.
Chair, Senator Georgia, it would be $71,331,310.
Just so I understand this, Mr. Chair, you intend to address packages 114, 115, 116 in the 3225 discussion this year?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to be voting for the motion with the understanding that we are going to be dealing with those packages.
Truly got it.
Thank you, Mr.
Are there any further questions on the amended motion to accept LFO recommendations as amended?
I'm going to be voting for this, and I do appreciate the issue of the importance of the packages that have temporarily been left off, but also appreciate from the discussions that we've had in 3225 that there will be a lot of other proposals there, many of which will have equally persuasive arguments for including them, and somewhere we've got to make a determination which ones get included and which don't, and I can't do that until they're basically all on the table. So I
travel both corridors, and hope that we will be able to make these restorations from the time we focus.
And that would be the intention of the committee to, or I think that's our obligation to consider all of this. Any other further discussion? If none, we'll call the roll on the motion to accept LFO recommendations as amended.
President Simpson?
Aye.
President Messley?
Aye.
President King?
Aye.
President Morgan?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Cookman?
No.
Chair Ferriola?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Okay, the motion to accept LFO recommendations is amended, including budget, conceptual budget note, and change to common school fund distribution passes. We need a motion to approve the amended Senate Bill 5518 to the full Ways and Means Committee. Senator Tarno moves. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Rocco, will you call the roll?
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Messer?
Aye.
Representative King?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Corcoran?
No.
Chair Ferriola?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. The chair will carry to the full Ways and Means Committee, and Representative Messer will you carry in the House? We have carriers designated, and do we have that carrier designated as well? That would be me. And I believe that concludes the work session. We close the work session, and just before we leave public hearing on that, our colleagues, the discussion we've had about Measure 66, and we need to pursue that. We have given these discussions in every one of the budgets that we move. We've already got a referral of Measure 5625 to celebrating. We've asked for that to go to the committee. I think every reason to expect that we'll get here. We need to do that sooner rather than later. We've lost the book waiting for the show. Yes, I'm here for Senator Perkins.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I wonder if there wouldn't be a way, without a lot of staff work, maybe to have the legislative fiscal office officers for the agencies to contemplate 66 money, or maybe you've already done this, and it's something that's successful, but to take a look at that, I understand that that'll be part of the discussion on the bill. It would be a helpful tool to talk to people about the difference between backfill and administration and new programs. And again, I think that this is not a leadership problem. It's a governance problem as well. I mean, he owns it too. And it would be helpful if there was a way to construct something like that. Just not in any great detail, but just sort of line item. What Fish and Wildlife wants, what GSL wants, what Forestry wants, in terms of their one big wish.
There are lists, and one of those details is relatively easy to do. We have the leadership proposal. We have the government's proposal. Both have been revised as the decisions and discussions have gone forward at the Attorney General's office about definitions. And so we have three or four different lists we can share with everybody, and we certainly can do that. We'll do that.
Can I provide my list too?
Absolutely. Everybody's got a list.
Well, we're in the middle of the hockey playoffs, so I don't want to put too much pressure on Mr. Rocco at the time until he has a clean slate.
Nothing has been transpiring as $45 million in money from the lottery to salmon and parks, and the inspiration is in every agency and in every quarter of the building. So, and Mr. Rocco, unfortunately for our committee, unfortunately for him, is becoming the repository of all wisdom when it comes to how we're going to allocate these dollars. So he will be bringing personal information to the committee. And we really do need to have a discussion of that, and I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to approach that. And I'm thinking in the context of the bill, because the point is we may as well put all of our focus and all of our energy into moving that bill forward, because those deliberations are going to turn into decisions, and as soon as they're made, we can move the bill. Question?
I think that for House Bill 2007 to deal with the cigarette settlement, there's about $3 million in interest. There's about $45 million in proposals for that.
Oh, yeah. And
I haven't seen the end of those. I don't think the building has seen the end of those either.
One more comment. I would have possibly been able to have voted for the budget if Representative Messerly would have included in his budget notes that DSL report back to the emergency board on the $1,500 in savings. I think that if we're going to hold agencies accountable, by God, they ought to come to the board and keep those records.
That little $1,500 requires a bit of discussion about whether to include it or not.
De minimis, I think, is the term.
On that low note, we're adjourned.
Thank you.